we started this a couple of weeks back thinking about the Sabbath and just sort of what is this, what are these passages about the Sabbath talking about, and how can we think about this problem of the Sabbath? And today we get to, well, let's be honest, the keynote of the whole thing, right? If you had to pick one passage that we're going to talk about the Sabbath, well, it's pretty obvious which one you would pick. You'd pick the command in the Ten Commandments. And so we get to that today. It's in Exodus chapter 20. And, you know, Amy earlier read the whole Ten Commandments, right? I mean, all of it. And so just buried in the middle of this Ten Commandments is this command about the Sabbath. But I don't know, you know, sort of as you hear Amy reading them all, there's something really weird about this commandment. And the weirdness of it gets lost because the command about the Sabbath shows up in the middle. But imagine they were just reordered. And I have no idea if it's sacrilegious to reorder the Ten Commandments or not, so I'm hoping this isn't a sin. But we can imagine reordering the Ten Commandments. And this is what you'd have, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, that's weird. I mean, all of the other nine are these direct imperative commands. Do this thing, right? Or don't do this thing. I mean, they're all telling you something. Here it is you're supposed to do. Do not murder, right? I mean, that's pretty clear. Like, don't murder someone. Do not covet, right? Honor your father and mother. Remember the Sabbath? Like, it could have been written differently, right? I mean, it's very easy to imagine the command had been written, do not work on the seventh day. I mean, that would have been a piece of cake to write it that way, but it's not written that way. So there's our puzzle for the morning. Why isn't it written that way? Like, why is it? You know, in other words, this was a student paper, right? And you're grading this paper, and they got all these points, and they're all framed exactly the same way, except one of them they framed completely weirdly. You'd mark it off in a second and say, you know what? You clearly lost track of how you were writing this thing. So God just need an editor to sort of help him figure out how to write the command? Or is there something going on here? Like, why is this remember the Sabbath? And so, fortunately, this is one of the Ten Commandments that then immediately is followed by this explanation of, like, what does it mean to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Now, let's be clear. This is actually a great commandment. It means today I do not have to do any yard work, right? We have a lot of yard, right? We have a lot of yard work, right? Janet likes yard work. I don't, right? And so I can now tell her, I know the lawn needs to be mowed, but you know what? I can't mow it today, right? Because that would be wrong. Mowing the lawn is work, so it just is going to have to wait till some other day. And if I can stall it out 6 days, I cannot do it again next Sunday, and it'll be this miraculous thing. And now that I am freed of all the yard work, what can I do today? I can go out and have a nice leisurely lunch at one of those outdoor restaurants that's on the river, and it'll be great. And I'll just really just be there, and somebody will bring me my food, and I will be resting. Oh, wait a minute. If I'm doing that, I'm making someone else work, and I can't make my maidservant or my manservant work at all. So I currently can't go to a restaurant and make some cook make me food or have some server come bringing me food. So I guess I have to go home and have lunch. But that's not the worst thing in the world, to go home and have lunch, because my wife's a great cook and we got leftovers. So I'll pull them out and I'll put them in the microwave and I'll heat it up. Wait a minute, cooking is clearly work. So I can't cook today either if I'm going to avoid work. But that's okay. The food's in the refrigerator. It's nice and cool. I'll pull up. Wait a minute. My refrigerator uses electricity. In order to have electricity provided to my house, there are people that have to work today to make sure the electrical grid is still working. I can't make them work today either. I need to be shutting off the electricity to my house every Sabbath so I'm not making anybody else work. And so now I've got a really interesting thing. Then I can go home. First, we have some bananas, I think. They're on the counter. And so that'll be great. I can eat a banana. I think peeling a banana, does that work? I'll peel them on Saturday, and then I'll eat them on Sunday. That will be okay. And then once I've had my banana, which has been unpeeled for 24 hours, 12 hours or whatever, right? Then what can I go do? I can settle down and read a book all afternoon. Except reading books is my job, right? I literally, this is what I do for a living. So is it okay to read a book on the Sabbath? And now I'm really getting stuck on this Sabbath thing. I just want to do all of this, but it's not just like don't go to the office. It's like don't do all this other work, don't make other people do all this work. And why am I doing all of this? Why am I spending all my time trying to figure out, okay, what can I do, what can I not do? How do I make sure not only am I not working, nobody else is working? Well, there's a nice explanation here. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And that was the whole point of the 2 week ago sermon about this idea of the Sabbath day. And we have this holy thing. God creates the world, and then he creates worship. And so that's the point of the Sabbath, except the Ten Commandments are listed twice in the Pentateuch. We get this passage in Exodus. In the Exodus passage we just read, right? And it tells me, we've got the Sabbath day command, and then here's the reason for the Sabbath day command. But in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is like Moses standing up right as they're about to enter the promised land, and he sort of just retells the whole story. And part of the retelling of the whole story is he relates the Ten Commandments. So this is Moses relating the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 5. The command begins at verse 12, and you know, it's got all the same kind of male servant, female servants, all of that kind of thing. But then we get to, why are we doing all this? You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why do we have to keep the commandment? What is the whole point about the Sabbath commandment? Oh, it's because you used to be slaves in Egypt, and now you're not. That's the nothing here about creation and God resting whatsoever. And so now I've got it really interesting. Maybe this is the way we should. Maybe the problem is we're using the Exodus. Maybe we should use this one to sort of think about it. Like, so what is this command saying? Look, it's great. I'm not a slave anymore. And you know what's really annoying about being a slave? Well, lots of things. But one of the really annoying things about being a slave is I have no control over my own time, right? And so let's be honest. I'm a slave. I've got some slave owner. It's Sunday. Of course I'm still going to be working, right? My time isn't my own. So what this really is all about is, look, nobody should have to work 7 days a week. You should get a day off of your job, right? Maybe that's what this whole command is. And that sounds really nice until I realize I only work 5 days a week anyway. I mean, so what is this all about? Like, maybe I should be working 6 days instead of five. Is that the right way to interpret this? And then it's like, but wait a minute. I only work 5 days a week because I've got one of those jobs where I have to leave my house and somebody's paying me. What if I worked in the home? Well, then I'm working 7 days a week, right? So maybe this is really not about people who have paid employment with weekends. This is really a command just about that small subset of people who haven't done that now. And so then they work in the home 7 days, well, then they can get a day off. But those of us that work in other jobs, then it's leisure time for us to be doing all the work on Sunday. So my wife doesn't have to garden, but I do now is sort of how that, and I don't like the way this is going. And so we have this really odd problem then about what's going on here. And then you start thinking, but wait a minute, what about Mark? Mark's job is being a pastor of a church. And one of the things people expect pastors of church to do is give sermons. So he's resting today nicely, but not every week, right? Not every week does he get to, should he never have to work on Sunday mornings? Is that what the command is saying? Is that how we should interpret this? But wait a minute, he's not the only one who works. I'm working right now, right? And you know what? All those ghouls that were up here, they were all working. You all are making people work. If you hadn't come this morning, none of us would have had to do anything. So you have broken the Sabbath by coming to church and making other people work. And now I have just been faithfully trying to figure out what this verse means, and I'm in a real mess. You can see why the Pharisees have to start making rules about all this. We always mock the Pharisees. Oh, look at the silly rules they made about the Sabbath. But go ahead and try to figure out what it means without making a whole bunch of rules. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to have to decide, well, this is okay. And I mean, it's okay to leave the electricity on your house, but you can't watch TV. Because somehow or another, watching TV violates the Sabbath, but leaving your refrigerator on doesn't or something. I mean, you've got to start making rules like this somehow. And it'd sure be nice if instead of just this cryptic command here that has all sorts of just what in the world does it mean, it'd be great if Jesus ever just talked about it and explained it. And lo and behold, he did. Matthew chapter 12. Sam read this passage earlier. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is sitting there. He's wandering around. Verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Now, if I had to think of something that would violate the Sabbath, harvesting grain has to fit under that criteria, right? I mean, it has to. So here's Jesus wandering through, his disciples are sitting there harvesting grain, and the Pharisees look at it, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And you know what? They're right. They are absolutely right. If we have a rule against working on the Sabbath, then when these disciples are sitting there harvesting grain, they are working on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees looking at Jesus saying, "Dude, look at these people that are following around. Look at what they're doing right now. They are working on the Sabbath. They are harvesting food. They should not be doing that." And Jesus says, "It's not a problem." And then the story goes on right after this story. Verse 9. Jesus went on from there and entered a synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. So here's a problem. Jesus is healing a guy on the Sabbath. Doing healing work is work, right? Let's all agree, that's work. And let's also note, this guy was not bleeding to death on the side of the road. And Jesus says, "You know what, we better stop all the bleeding or the guy will be dead in an hour." He had a withered hand. The guy had a withered hand yesterday too, right? It wasn't like it just withered overnight, right? He's had a withered hand probably his whole life. And you know what would happen? He would have a withered hand tomorrow too, on the next day. On Sunday morning, he would have woken up and his hand would have been withered. And you know what Jesus could have easily done? He could have said, "Look, you got a withered hand. I want to heal you. It's the Sabbath. I'm not supposed to do work on the Sabbath, but I'll heal you tomorrow morning." And you can imagine the withered hand guy saying, "That's just not acceptable to me. I've had this my whole life. It has to be right this second. I cannot wait till tomorrow morning so that we can both honor the Sabbath and heal the withered hand." Jesus could have done that easily. There was no life-threatening emergency here. Jesus is deliberately breaking the Sabbath rule. There's no other way to read these stories. Jesus is sitting there looking at the Sabbath rule about you shall not work, and his disciples are eating grain. He said, "That's fine. They don't have to be harvesting grain on the Sabbath. They shouldn't be doing that. Everyone else is around that's hungry isn't harvesting grain that day, but the disciples are." Jesus could have healed the withered guy's hand on Sunday morning. And you know what's great? Jesus didn't even have to see the guy on Sunday morning heal him. He could have been across town and just said, "Okay, I'll heal the guy's hand," as soon as the day turned over. He could have done that too, but he didn't. Why is Jesus breaking these Sabbath rules? Well, he tells us. And we're back up in verse 8. "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That's his explanation. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That sounds great, but what in the world does it mean? If you're Lord of the Sabbath, what do you get to do? Do you get to tell the Sabbath what to do? Well, it's hard to tell the Sabbath what to do. So if you're Lord of the Sabbath, the implication seems to be, I get to make the Sabbath rules. So if I decide it's okay for my disciples to pick grain, well, then they can pick grain. And if I decide I want to heal somebody's hand on Sunday morning, I can heal somebody's hand on Sunday morning. I get to just make up the rules here. But now we've got a really weird commandment. Here's the Sabbath. Don't do any work unless the Lord of the Sabbath says this is like a carve-out or an exception. And what else are carve-outs and exceptions? Because he didn't give us the complete list here. So it's okay to pick on the Sabbath. Is it okay to pull carrots on the Sabbath? Is that also okay? It's okay to do good on the Sabbath. It is good to watch TV because then you can talk to your neighbors about the TV shows you watch and you can minister to them and you can share the gospel with them and talking about that. So that's a good thing to do. It's really bad to still do yard work, but there are other things that might be good to do on the Sabbath, right? There's all sorts of... And so I'm getting really stuck here still. And then Mark doubles down, Mark chapter 2, telling exactly the same story that we just read in Matthew. But in Mark chapter 2, so this is right towards the end of it, so he's told the story, we get to verse 27, And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that idea, the Sabbath is made for me, not me for the Sabbath, does not fit with my entire experience trying to think about the Sabbath. I mean, it's work to think about the Sabbath, right? I mean, I'm spending a lot of time trying to figure out what can I do, what can I not do? And then Jesus says, oh, it was made for me. And you know what? This is like one of these great things. It's like that gift, right? You get this gift, it's a gift for you. But you know, all in all, I'd rather not have this gift. Honestly, I could do without this whole thing about the Sabbath and trying to figure out what I can and can't do. It's like when you got these young kids, and somebody gives your kids one of those gifts that's like really loud, right? So somebody gave our kids a little ray gun once, and they'd run around squeaking it all over. And it was like, I'd rather not have had that gift. Here's something I'd rather not have had. If it was made for me, no thanks, right? I'm happy to do yard work on the seventh day just so I don't have to sit around and think about all of this stuff. But as soon as you have that, it begins to click a bit in my mind. And the reason it clicks in my mind a bit is a great story that C.S. Lewis tells in The Voyage of the Dawn, one of the Chronicles of Narnia. And if you don't know the story, right, all these people are out on the ship and they're sailing around all these islands, and there's some fun islands. And they get to this island with the duffel puds on it. And the duffel puds are there, and there is this magician-like guy who's ruling over them. And all the duffel puds are really annoyed about this magician guy. And so our hero and Lucy is talking to him, and she says, well, what's going on here? Why are they all mad at you? And, you know, sort of, why do they think you're punishing them all the time? And he says this about them. Well, they wouldn't do what they were told. And you read that sentence, and I get it, right? I mean, you get this mean guy, and he's telling people what to do. They wouldn't do what they were told. Their work is to mind the garden and raise food. Not for me, as they imagine, but for themselves. They wouldn't do it at all if I didn't make them. So there's a first problem we have with them, right? Their work is to raise food, and they don't like raising food because they think, why do we raise food for this guy? But he's not eating the food. They're the ones eating the food. They wouldn't even create food for themselves if somebody didn't make them. And of course, for a garden, you want water. There is a beautiful spring about a half a mile away up the hill. And from that spring, there flows a stream which comes right past the garden. All I asked them to do was to take their water from the stream instead of trudging up to the spring with their buckets two or three times a day and tiring themselves out besides spilling half of it on the way back. But they wouldn't see it. In the end, they refused point blank. Are they as stupid as all that? Said Lucy. The magician sighed. You wouldn't believe the troubles I've had with them. A few months ago, they were all for washing up the plates and knives before dinner. They said it saved time afterwards. I caught them planting boiled potatoes to save cooking them when they were dug up. One day, the cat got into the dairy, and 20 of them were at work moving all the milk out. No one thought of moving the cat out. You know what? We are the duffel puds. I mean, we are these people that you imagine this magician stands in for God saying, here's something you should go do. And you know what? It would be good for us to go do it. But we say, no, I don't want to go do that. It's too much work. And so what do? We make endless toil and turmoil for ourselves instead of just doing this thing that was supposed to make our lives easier. So if that's what's going on when I'm thinking about the Sabbath, then I'm stuck. Well, wait a minute. How is this making my life easier? And this, we go back to Matthew. And it's kind of interesting in Matthew because of the chapter break problem. So we start in chapter 12, verse 1, like we did, right? And it seems like it's this nice story. But chapter 12, verse 1 comes right after the verses in chapter 11. There's no natural chapter break there. So what was Jesus saying right before this section about breaking all the Sabbath? Well, this is what he said, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, we talk about that verse all the time. That's that verse all the time because it's great. Come to me, all you are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest, right? You need rest for your souls. And we talk about that. We should rest, and it's great resting in God. And then, well, because it's a new chapter, we don't read chapter 12 till the next day. And we start in on this whole Sabbath thing, which also was about rest. What if these are all connected? What if Jesus is saying, come to me all weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? And now we turned all the Sabbath, which is what people used to think of as the day of rest, and suddenly we're realizing, oh, wait a minute, the Sabbath isn't the way we get rest at all. What if the whole point of this is that the Sabbath was never the thing we were supposed to be paying attention to? The Sabbath was pointing elsewhere. The Sabbath is pointing straight to Christ. Christ is there to give us rest. And the Sabbath, you think the Old Testament, they don't have Christ yet. So we have this Sabbath thing, and then Christ is coming along and saying, not only am I Lord of the Sabbath, but I will give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. And as you begin to sort of puzzle that out, you then saw something really weird, another weird thing about the Ten Commandments. If you look back at the Ten Commandments, 9 of the 10 are repeated in the New Testament. There's a verse somewhere, in some cases multiple verses in the New Testament, that repeat 9 of the 10 commandments. There's one that has absolutely no repetition anywhere in the New Testament. It is not once issued by anywhere in the Gospels and any of the letters, and guess which one is never repeated? Well, you know, right? This one about remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Nowhere do they say, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So why? Like, well, how do they get 9 of the 10 but forget to mention this one? And it turns out there's one place where we get something resembling the command, and it's in the book of Colossians. So Paul writes the book of Colossians, letter to church. And in chapter 2, he's sitting around talking about this. He's just talking about things, right? And he gets to the therefore in verse 16. And he says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. And we'll pause there for a second. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink. This was a big issue for the early church because there's all sorts of Old Testament law about food and drink. What you can eat, what you can't eat, how you should eat it, what should you do. And we know from the book of Acts, right? There's that great story about Peter seeing the sheet with all the animals that God tells him, look, you can now eat everything. Whatever I made is clean and you can now eat it. But the church has all sorts of problems trying to figure this out. Like, is it really okay for us to eat everything? Is it not okay for us to eat everything? Like, what should we be doing about this? Paul in Romans walks into it and says, look, it's okay to eat everything, but if you don't think it's okay, well, then you shouldn't be eating stuff. But you shouldn't be judging each other on this, right? You should not be sitting around judging people on this food and drink questions. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Let no one pass judgment on you about a Sabbath. Why? These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The substance of the Sabbath was never the Sabbath command. The substance of the Sabbath command is Christ. And what does that mean? Well, then we begin to think, well, the substance of the Sabbath command is Christ. I should come to Christ because he will give me rest. So what does this mean about this command in the Ten Commandments? Does it just vanish? But then we remember Jesus also said, I did not fulfill the law like here. And the author of Hebrews takes on that challenge. The author of Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4, it's too long to read through all the day, take a whole sermon all by itself, but the chapter 3 is talking about this problem of all of these Israelites as they were wandering around the wilderness with Moses, right? They start rebelling. And so there's a quote there, starting in verse 7, it's a quote from the Psalms, about, you know, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of the testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So they shall not enter my rest. And then he goes on to say, all right, so people read that and think, okay, what that meant was all these people wandering around the wilderness don't get to go into the Holy Land, right? And so that was the rest. But the author notes, the person writing this was David, much later. It's about entering the promised land. Verse 8, for if Joshua, of chapter 4, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. What's going on here? We have a command in the Ten Commandments that, if you recall, says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then Jesus shows up on the scene and says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Come to me and you will have rest. It's almost like, not almost like, it is like, the Ten Commandments are there and there are all these things on how to behave. And then there's this command about the Sabbath to remind the Israelites, you're not on your own. Right? There's a God out there who not only created the universe, he also rescued you from slavery. It doesn't matter which one of those stories it is. And the Sabbath is there so you don't just go through your daily life forgetting about God all the time. And you can imagine if the Israelites had just remembered the Sabbath and kept it holy, they wouldn't have been chasing after other gods through the entire Old Testament. The entire Old Testament is a record of people forgetting about God and his works and forgetting about the Sabbath. And then along comes Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus does this really fascinating thing with the Ten Commandments. We see in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard, you shall not murder. And that's true. You have heard it. It's in the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is guilty. So Jesus takes the command, you shall not murder, and that was a nice command, and then it suddenly gets internalized, and it gets a lot harder. I mean, it is way harder to never be angry than to never murder someone. I have never murdered anyone. I mean, it's great, right? But I have been angry. And so we have this problem then of this internalization of the command, and the internalization of the command turns out makes the command way more extensive, way harder. And then you could imagine he said, you have heard it said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But I say to you, the Sabbath is me. And now what's the difference? Well, I think about the nice old days. The beginning of my sermon was way easier than what's about to come. Figuring out what I can and cannot do today, I mean, sure, it's a little annoying, but once I make the set of rules for myself, I can do that for the rest of my life, and I can proudly walk around, I've never murdered anyone, I keep the Sabbath, it's all great. But suddenly, not only do I murder, I gotta never be angry, but suddenly, I have to remember the Lord of the Sabbath and keep it holy all the time. All the time I have to go to Jesus and say, I am heavy laden, I am burdened with life, and I am now going to rest in you. And you know how much work that is? And why is it so much work? Because I'm a duffel pud. At my heart, I hear Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. The burden is light. And I say, I got this one, right? I can do this. I'm sure the stream is right there. But you know what? I can hike the half mile. I'm not some wimp that needs a stream to get water to my garden. I can do this, and sure, I'll spill some, so I'll go twice. I mean, it's okay if I go twice. And I go through my whole life constantly doing this, and what am I constantly doing? I am forgetting the Lord of the Sabbath. I am constantly forgetting the Lord of the Sabbath, and because I spent all my time worrying about the Sabbath, but I forgot what the Sabbath was pointing to all of this time. Imagine if we did that. We daily remember the Lord of the Sabbath, and we daily keep the Lord of the Sabbath holy. We daily actually care what the Lord of the Sabbath has to say. Wow, that's a lot of work. It'd be really good for me. You know what? Because I'd rest a lot more if I did that. But I don't do that. And that becomes this fascinating thing about this Sabbath command. Remembering the Lord of the Sabbath is the challenge. It was a challenge enough for the Israelites to remember the Sabbath at all. They couldn't pull that off, right? I might be able to pull, but I cannot constantly remember the Lord of the Sabbath, because the end of the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I fail all the time. And why am I failing all the time? Because I can't do this. Because let's be honest, Most of the time, I don't want to do this. Most of the time, I just want to go my own way and bear my own burdens and figure out my own life and not daily sit down and ask, what does the Lord of the Sabbath want me to do today? How can I show forth his love today? How do I remember this and keep it holy day after day? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the Sabbath that you've given us. God, we thank you that you have given us a Sabbath rest in you. And God, we know all too often we do not let you bear our burdens. We do not turn to you in our time of toil and trouble. And that God, all too often, we just completely forget about you. God, help us to remember the Sabbath. Help us to remember the Sabbath rest that you have promised us through the work of your Son. Help us to remember the Lord of the Sabbath day by day. Help us to just internalize this idea, God, and turn to you when we are weary and heavy laden and accept your rest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.